At 23, sleeping on your sister's couch with $4 in your bank account, would you believe someone who told you that within a decade you'd build a multi-million dollar business and interview the world's most successful people? Probably not. Yet, this exact transformation happened, not through some magical overnight success, but through a fundamental shift in how greatness itself is understood. The journey begins with a sobering truth. What stands between most of us and the life we want isn't talent, opportunity, or even luck. It's the absence of something deeper, a meaningful mission that gives our days genuine significance beyond mere achievement. Consider why 40 million American adults battle anxiety annually, or why happiness metrics have declined steadily over two decades. We're chasing success while starving for meaning. Building a seven-figure business sounds impressive until you realize the hollowness that can accompany it, the strained partnerships, the Sunday night dread, the nagging question, is this really it? True greatness emerges only when we stop performing for others' approval and start serving from authentic purpose. This requires balancing what's called the three players: business, relationships, and wellness. Neglect any one, and your entire foundation weakens. You might dominate professionally while your marriage crumbles, or achieve perfect health while your purpose withers. Your sweet spot exists precisely where three forces converge: what lights you up, passion; what comes naturally, power; and what problem you're compelled to solve, problem. Think of salsa dancing. You might love it passionately, but does it call to you strongly enough to build your life around it? Probably not. Natural strengths matter too, but without addressing a meaningful problem, they remain dormant potential. As a former CIA director put it, greatness means accomplishing something beneficial to more than yourself. Finding this intersection takes time. Some writers spend years discovering their voice before producing breakthrough work, but practical exercises accelerate the journey. Try designing your perfect day itinerary, not some fantasy involving private jets, but an honest hour-by-hour schedule reflecting your ideal rhythm. What time do you wake? How do you move your body? When do you create your best work? Who surrounds you? Then identify small, achievable adjustments moving you toward that reality. Here's a more uncomfortable exercise. Write your own obituary. How long do you want to live? What mission did you accomplish? What legacy remains? What do loved ones say at your funeral? This isn't morbid, it's clarifying. When you know the story you want told, today's decisions become remarkably simpler. Sarah Blakely's father asked an unusual dinner question: what did you fail at today? If she hadn't failed, he seemed disappointed. This taught her that failure isn't about outcomes, it's about not trying. With this mindset, she cut the legs off pantyhose, creating Spanx's prototype. Despite lacking business experience or capital, she persisted through 2 years of rejections to reach a $1.2 billion valuation. Most of us learned the opposite. When 80% of audiences admit fearing failure, they're really fearing judgment. The shift happens when you stop tying worth to outcomes. Ask yourself, then what? Even if your worst-case scenario unfolds, life continues. You learn, adjust, and try again. There are two types of fear: healthy fear of genuine danger and psychological fears keeping you emotionally stuck. Fear of failure typically falls into the second category. The greatest risk isn't failing, it's the regret of never trying. One of the world's richest investors learned more from disasters than successes, calling his catastrophic prediction that forced him to borrow from his father the best thing to happen because it taught him to balance boldness with caution. Fearing success can be equally paralyzing. A news anchor with Rosacea created cosmetics for people with skin conditions, eventually selling to L'Oreal for $1.2 billion despite investor rejection. Yet success brought 100-hour work weeks and unsustainable pressure. Success brings increased scrutiny and the terrifying possibility that achievement won't bring fulfillment. This explains why people self-sabotage as breakthroughs approach. The subconscious prefers familiar struggle over unpredictable triumph. The fear of judgment cripples more dreams than anything else. This worship at the god of opinion, letting others define your identity, destroys self-confidence from within. But here's the truth. People will judge you whether you sit idle or chase your dreams. As Theodore Roosevelt said, credit belongs to the person in the arena, not the critic on the sidelines. Since judgment is inevitable, pursue what you love. We obsess over others' negative thoughts, but we don't actually know what people think. Our brains just generate negative assumptions in survival mode. One practical antidote is joy conditioning, deliberately reliving positive memories with sensory components, like scents or sounds, to drown out negativity and overcome the fear of judgment. Self-doubt kills more dreams than failure ever will. When you doubt your capability, you intimidate yourself into inaction before the world gets a chance to. Choose whether you'll be your own supportive coach or harshest critic. The love-based coach says, "I am enough," while working to improve, whereas the fear-based critic only focuses on inadequacy. Childhood traumas leave persistent inadequacy that no external achievement satisfies. Unhealed trauma manifests physically: throat tightness, chest heaviness, constant exhaustion. There's an important distinction between victimhood, a real state, and victim consciousness, defining oneself by trauma. True empowerment means taking back power without necessarily forgiving perpetrators. Our survival mechanisms become unhealthy patterns. The subconscious prefers familiar states, even negative ones, over unpredictable new approaches. Examine your coping mechanisms without judgment. Alcohol, overworking, people-pleasing, binge-watching. What value do they provide? Does overwork silence intrusive thoughts? Does alcohol ease social anxiety? Understanding their appeal reveals why we continue despite the costs. Notice bodily reactions to triggers: clenched fists when angry, fatigue when sad. After identifying triggers and responses, commit to new approaches: taking breaks when panicky, practicing deep breathing, or journaling about emotional outbursts. Try the fear converter. Dump all fears onto paper, transforming intimidating thoughts into manageable words. Use if-then statements to uncover recurring fears. Transform restricting beliefs into abundance thinking. Instead of, "I'm scared of public speaking," say, "I have a message that will help people. With preparation, I can speak confidently." Compare yourself to your past self, not others, to recognize progress. Negative inner dialogue feels believable because it arrives in a familiar voice. As one neuroscientist explains, thoughts are the language of the brain and feelings are the language of the body. When negative thoughts connect to painful memories, they affect how we move and act. Establish a thought bouncer using your reticular activating system to filter what enters your mind. By staying present, we access our moment of power and manage emotions rather than letting them hijack our thoughts. Emotional agility, healthily processing daily thoughts and emotions, is as crucial as physical agility. Bottling emotions or brooding over them both prevent developing skills needed to navigate challenges and achieve greatness. Years of chasing success brought emptiness when achievements served to prove others wrong rather than from authentic purpose. One founder lived between American and Indian identities, hiding parts of herself to please others, what she calls Plan B success, a path you didn't choose that feels unfulfilling. Our identities grow richest when we integrate diverse experiences rather than letting others prune us into predetermined shapes. Avoid identity foreclosure, committing to a single identity before exploring options. Four primary characters exist in every story and within ourselves: the victim, who feels doomed; the villain, who demeans others for power; the hero, who accepts challenges despite limitations; and the guide, who helps others after mastering challenges. The critical difference? Villains hurt others because they were hurt. Heroes prevent others from experiencing similar pain. Build your new identity by developing specific skills through courses, books, coaching, or accountability partnerships. Consider the psychologist who closed his fully booked practice because it no longer fulfilled him, then did the same with his 15-year trial sciences company. Greatness requires understanding that success isn't the end game. You must redefine success as your mission evolves. When you reach what seems like the top, you realize you're at the beginning of something new. You don't need all the skills to start. Every step becomes a self-contained success.
Change happens gradually, often unnoticed in ourselves, while appearing dramatic in others. Pursuing greatness requires healing past pain and developing new identity through three interwoven components: thoughts, emotions, and behavior. When negative emotions from past experiences drive current behaviors, they trap us in patterns, making our future resemble our past. The greatness mindset contrasts with the powerless mindset, where we feel trapped with few options. Moving from powerlessness to greatness requires navigating the transformation zone, gaining awareness of the problem, making the decision to act, and making a commitment to persist. Though the path narrows during transition, limitless options appear once through. This journey demands we stop waiting for perfect conditions and take imperfect action toward our meaningful mission. The journey begins with courageous questions that push past fear and doubt. When one entrepreneur hesitated to start a nonprofit for Black mothers due to fear of failure, targeted questions about her vision and practical steps moved her forward. Within 24 hours, she raised $200,000 to serve 40 mothers. People focus too much on how when they should think about what they want and why. Then the how follows. Five powerful questions create action bias. What would you do if 100% authentic? What would be your first three moves to double your goal in 30 days? What would be possible achieving your goal? How would success feel? What if you won the lottery? Permission often holds us back. A financial advisor earning $80,000 refused a lottery winner's fortune, saying, "I'm not ready," despite years requesting bigger clients. We seek permission from therapists, coaches, or family, but the most crucial permission must come from within. Without self-permission, jealousy emerges. As one teacher explains, jealousy is witnessing undeveloped parts of ourselves. Many wait to be picked when they should pick themselves. Once you realize no one is coming, you can actually get to work. For years, achievements went uncelebrated, not even becoming an All-American athlete twice or breaking world records. The belief persisted, "I need to be more." Only through healing did appreciation emerge without inadequacy. Celebrating doesn't breed complacency. It generates excitement from fulfillment. One celebrity dancer realized he was enough when told, "If you are in a field by yourself with nothing, just you, you are enough." Only after accepting this did he do things for joy, accelerating his career. You are enough. The process is the prize. Create a brag list using BRG, big results, accomplishments, and goals. List achievements from junior high through your career, completing school, promotions, dream trips, side businesses. This reminds you how capable you are. Your journey begins when you choose to see yourself clearly, heal what needs healing, and step courageously toward your mission. The world needs you fully expressed, serving from your sweet spot, becoming the guide who helps others find greatness.